sailed away. Their stories are almost lost to us now. Theirs was not an easy time either, for they faced pressures of a different sort. Their options in life were notoriously limited. Becoming a wife and a mother was invariably the next step in a scripted life that presented far fewer choices. Yet there was a beauty and an elegance to their relationships with men that one too rarely sees these days. Fraternities from the State University, for example, held their annual spring galas at the beach. Men in tuxedos and women in beautiful ball gowns really did dance the night away in a ballroom overlooking the sea, because both parties knew they would retire to separate quarters before the morning dawned. So much more was required of a man. He actually expected to have to court a woman's affection, sometimes riding the train for the day to see her for a few hours, expecting nothing more sexual than a kiss. When a man took a woman out, her care and her good time were his responsibility. Perhaps the most engaging story that came my way, though shed some light on the respect and gentleness men and women tended to offer each other even if they never married. Charlotte, a lovely silver-haired woman in her 70s, told me how she fell in love with a man she met on a slow boat to Europe while she was in college. They had hours to talk, watching the way the stars shine when there is only sky and sea. Frank continued to write after she returned home. He even came to see her once or twice. But she knew, as she had always known, that she would marry Joe, a man in her hometown whom she had dated for a couple of years. When Charlotte married a year later, out of kindness, she sent Frank an invitation to the wedding. He replied with a gift, a leather-bound early edition of John Milton's classic, his calling card tellingly stuck between the pages of Paradise Lost. We can't turn back the clock, and our current problems would not evaporate even if we could. There are flies in the ointment of love in every day and time. The chastity of women in days gone by was rarely a reflection of real virtue or the thoughtful consideration of sexual ethics. Good girls didn't have sex. It was about that simple. The fear of pregnancy kept many women chaste. Thus, they did not have to do the hard work that women do now of wrestling with the spiritual and emotional implications of joining one's body to another. I share their stories as a way of gauging how far we have come in a relatively short span of time. "You've come a long way, baby," was the slogan that made Virginia Slim cigarettes famous. Indeed, we have come a long way. The question we must ask ourselves is, when it comes to relating to men, is this where we...